Morning.
Morning.
Wow. The baptism of our Lord, a special day, especially exploring every year we take time on the Sunday after Epiphany, when we celebrate Epiphany, to remember the baptism of our Lord and thereby have an opportunity to remember our own baptism. So I want to check and make sure how many people are baptized. We're baptized. Just want to make sure that am I missing anyone? Okay. All right. So pretty much everyone. Okay. Churches have fought about the meaning of baptism and struggled with the meaning of baptism and divided and made new denominations over baptism and how it should be offered and shared. And so it's really important to take time to think about baptism, not so that I can indoctrinate you all on the proper meaning of baptism, although I will try to share some insights that I have, but because truly it is a means of grace, and we can't really be faithful Christians if we deprive ourselves of means of grace and if we forget the meaning of the means of grace, a means of grace, an avenue into the free love of God. So we have the stories from Matthew of Jesus being baptized, and the Gospels all talk about Jesus being baptized somewhere along the line. About Jesus being baptized by John. And there's a slight difference between the baptism of John and then the baptism that we practice as a sacrament in our churches today, which is the baptism in Jesus' name. So first we need to explore the baptism of John, which was a baptism, a call to repentance. Huge important thing. Something that I would encourage us all to participate in on a very regular basis. I have a friend who likens the morning shower to the baptism of repentance, and I think that's a good one. Every time you jump in the shower, to offer the prayers of repentance and to experience physically the washing away of your sins. And the baptism in Jesus' name is something that is a gift from God, a sacrament, an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. And so it's an outward, something we do outwardly, because we are physical beings and we are fed in a different way when we experience it physically as well as the internal spiritual, you see. When we connect the fullness of who we are, body, mind, and soul, when we connect those, it feeds us differently, and so we have the ritual of baptism in Jesus' name, that we experience the water and we remember what Jesus has done for us, offering that path to the forgiveness and the love of God. It's God's gift to us. It is free, and it's given to us once. Many denominations think if you didn't do it a particular way, then it wasn't right. But in the United Methodist Church, our understanding is that this is God's gift and God gets it right. You know, you don't have to keep doing it again. My husband tells that he was baptized in various different denominations, and when he finally came to the United Methodist Church and he was gonna join the church, and he showed up to, you know, the Sunday he was gonna have membership, and he anticipated that he was going to be baptized again, because every time he changed churches, they baptized him again. And the pastor looked at him and said, "Well, you were baptized before, weren't you?" He said, "Well, yeah, da, da, da." And the pastor said, "Well, one of those should have took." It's God's action. It's God's action. And it's not dependent on the worthiness of the person administering it, or even the worthiness of the person receiving it. It's God's gift. And through our lifetime, that gift to us gains meaning in different ways. Sometimes people say, well, you can't give baptism to children because they don't understand it. Well, you know what? Adults don't really understand it either. It's a growing process. isn't it? It's a growing understanding as we move through life. So the sacrament in Jesus' name is something that we do once, but it's so important to remember that you have received this sacrament, this means of grace, an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace, something that God is doing inside of you. And sometimes we feel a little disconnected from God. And sometimes when we're in the midst of struggling with different issues, sometimes we might have a hard time making that connection. We might feel alone and isolated, and it's so important to remember that you have been baptized. You are a baptized child of God. You are God's precious and beloved one, and God is working in you. And to remember that it's happening, and to have that physical sign to remember that it's going on inside, even when we're not fully aware of how that works, you see. There's the story told of Martin Luther King Jr. when he was in the midst of really challenging times, that he would put his hands on his head and remember, I am a baptized child of God. Remember that. When long after the waters have been poured on your head, to feel the hands again and remember, I am a baptized child of God. And God gives me what I need to make it through these times. The baptism of repentance is huge, you see. It's huge for us to acknowledge on a daily basis where we have wandered. Where we have wandered. And then to remember that we are baptized and God gives us an interior grace that helps us to move past our brokenness and to exceed our own wills and desires. People who struggle with addiction and have found relief through their higher power understand the need for that grace and understand that will alone cannot change that behavior, you see. So many times maybe you have experienced that or you know someone who has experienced that. I'm not going to drink again. I'm not going to use again. I'm not going to take that bite again. And then to find yourself using or drinking or overeating or whatever it is, realizing that just willing yourself to do it doesn't do the job. That opening yourself and allowing God to work in you can break those addictions. But the thing about it is that those of us who don't struggle with those kinds of addictions, we still have other things that we try to will ourselves into being better people. I'm not going to say that harsh word, even though I have a resentment about that, you see, and then it comes out some other way, or it slips out when we didn't mean it to, or, right? I know that person is just obnoxious, but I'm going to be sweet as can be, you know, and then, see. And opening ourselves to God's grace, allowing God's grace to transform us. To transform our resentments, to transform them so that they're not festering inside, but they're actually become for us a way of sharing God's love. I'm sure that pretty much everyone here, not everyone, but pretty much everyone here would have heard about the shootings in Arizona and Tucson yesterday of the senator, or the representative, huh? Representative, and five other people, little 9-year-old girl at a shopping center, gunmen opened up with a machine gun, and targeting the senator, particularly, and got a bunch of other people too, and probably most upset about the health care bill that she had supported when it passed back when. And you might think, well, what's that got to do with me? You see, most of you are aware of the struggles in the Middle East. And we might say, well, but really, what's that got to do with me? You know, I didn't cause that. I haven't been over there promoting animosity. Is there any possible way I could be responsible for any of this? But here's the thing. When we have inside of ourselves resentments and brokenness and anger that we hold on to, that we hold on to it, even though we know that, one, it's not healthy for us to do that, and two, it's really not being a faithful disciple of Jesus. Because our resentments and our anger, our fears, all of those things are about holding on to stuff that God wants to heal inside of us. And rather than accepting God's healing, we choose to hold on to our brokenness, you see. And we might say, well, I'm not going to murder somebody else over it, you know. So sometimes I have an anger and I kind of hold on to it for a while, but that's not the same as taking action on it, right? But when we have a little anger and we just kind of hold on to it. But the next person has a little anger and maybe they speak out about it. Now then, if those of us who have that anger and are followers of Jesus Christ think it's okay to hold on to it, then people who aren't followers of Jesus Christ think not only is it okay to hold on to it, but I can go ahead and act on it. Maybe they speak out on it in a very harsh way. Or maybe even followers of Jesus Christ think that it's okay to speak out it in a way that undermines somebody else's integrity, because I'm right after all, right? How many times do we get angry because I'm right and you're wrong, right? I know that some of you who are married have had that argument where it's, you always think you're right, and then the response is, well, so do you. You know, of course, I'm right and you're wrong and I can be angry about it. And the other person's going, but I'm right and you're wrong, so I can be angry about it, right? Clearly, the righteousness of God is not limited to our concepts of what is right and wrong. One of the beauties of this congregation is that we work together in love across huge variations in political perspectives. I'm not sure I've been in a congregation that has quite this range of political perspectives before. And not only that, but people actually talk about it and they still love each other. Yes, you see, yes. Beautiful. Because we have our ideas of what's right and wrong, but God's ideas are a bit above ours, and ours are somewhat limited. And so holding on to resentments and bitterness isn't beneficial. And we, as humans, are connected in ways beyond our own understanding. We acknowledge that we are three-dimensional, finite beings, but a part of us is interacting with that polydimensional, infinite reality. And we are connected in ways we can't even understand. And when we, followers of Jesus Christ, who are striving to be whole and healthy people, because that's what God wants for us, striving to open our lives up to receive that healing from God, to share that precious love and peace in the world, when we are willing to hold on to little resentments, that reverberates in the brokenness of humanity and comes out in unexpected and unintended ways. When we, who are followers of Jesus Christ, reject the healing that God offers to us so that we can harbor our resentments and our angers, What more can we expect of people who aren't followers of Jesus Christ? You see, if we want the world to change, where does the change start? We can't force other people to forgive each other. We can't force other people to give up their resentments. We can only work on ourselves. And the thing is that also reverberates through the brokenness of humanity. When we allow God to work within us and change us, it has repercussions. We are God's instruments of peace and healing in the world. When we allow God to bring peace and healing into our lives, and that is the baptism of Jesus Christ that we celebrate, that we need to cling to and remember every day, or every time you're in the tub, or any time the rain falls on your head, remembering the baptism of repentance. But knowing that repentance is acknowledging I did something I shouldn't have done, or I held on to a resentment when I could have had healing from God. I got angry. I said a hurtful word. Whatever it was, repenting from that. But that alone is not changing our behavior. Our behavior then is to acknowledge that there was something inside of me that's broken, that caused me to have that anger and resentment. And I need God's healing so that I can truly follow Jesus, live that whole and healthy life that I've wanted and that God has wanted for me. We repent, and then we turn and allow God to heal us all the more. The story in Acts is kind of disappointing for me in how the people that decide the lectionary readings pulled that little piece out of the story in Acts 10. I encourage you to go and read the story. It's dynamic. It is a story about people. Peter is talking to people who are not Jewish and are not Christians yet fully, but they're hungering, you see. And he's been asked to go where good, devout Jewish people were taught was unclean, and to do something that the law had told them was an unclean thing to do, and God has asked him to do this. And he goes because God asked him to, but inside, he's feeling like there's something a little wrong about this. And as he sees and witnesses the spiritual life of these people, he declares, "Truly I see that God has no partiality." And as the story develops and he sees that God has in fact bestowed the spiritual baptism upon these people, he says, "Well, what's to prevent us from putting the water on then? Let's do the whole thing. By water and spirit we are baptized." It is an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace that is already happening, you see. That God's Holy Spirit is not limited by our human concepts of what needs to go first and second. God's Spirit moves where it will, and we so often are running to keep up. Wait a minute, let me throw water on you too. Wait, let me throw water. And the church trying to control who gets the water and who doesn't get the water. And Peter recognizing that it's not about us controlling this. That God shows no partiality. God's love is being flung out on everyone. And it's our privilege to help people understand what that means. See? So we, who have been baptized, who continue to grow in our understanding of what that means for our lives, we every year make sure, at least once in the year, that we remember our baptism. That we are baptized children of God, the one God. Not some God or a God. We are children of the God that made all, that transcends time and space, and yet cares for us individually. We are precious and beloved, who longs to give us full health and wholeness. In the bowls are these stones. There's a few different kinds of colors and shapes. And one of the things, and Darren was saying he snagged one. But you know what? I encourage you to do exactly that, and for exactly the same reason. You see, when you take these stones, you pick up just a stone. Usually they're kind of just, you know, a rock, you know. But when it's tumbled together with other rocks in the water, then the rough places kind of become smooth, and those colors that are inside come shining out. And after it gets tumbled enough, even when the rock is dry, it has that brilliance. You know what I mean? You can see those inner colors, and they shine. And they're not, it's not so rough anymore, you see. And I think that's such a beautiful metaphor for our lives, rough on the edges and the beauty hidden inside. But when we're tumbled against each other, mixed with the waters of our baptism, it starts to bring out that inner glow. It reminds us of who we are, who we really are, and how God sees us, that amazing beauty inside. So today, we're going to invite, when you come up for Holy Communion, and you receive communion, and then as you return to your seat, there's a bowl on each side. And we're going to invite you to reach in and get some water and put it on your head and remember your baptism. Remember your baptism. And if you want, look through and find a stone that reminds you of yourself. And take it with you. And keep it with you. And I encourage you, put it in your pocket where you keep bumping into it all day long, or your coin purse where every time you reach for change, there it is to remind you, or some place where you're going to keep bumping into it, where it's always in the way. Always in the way, so, because, you know, otherwise it becomes a dusting thing, which is pointless, dusting off our baptism, right? We want to always be reminded something that's in our way that reminds us of something huge and important that can change our lives on a daily basis. So every day, taking time to be showered, baptized with repentance, and every day remembering that God has blessed us with a special gift, an outward and visible sign of the inward and spiritual grace that God is doing for us and in us, and ultimately through us, offering to the world the love of God, the healing, the wholeness, the forgiveness that is ours, not because we will it, but because God has given it to us. Will you join me in prayer? Loving God, we thank you so much for this holy sacrament of baptism, which reminds us of the working of the Spirit inside to cleanse and heal us, and through our lives to bring healing to the world. So, loving God, we ask that as we this day remember our baptism in Jesus' name, that you would help us every day to remember that we are baptized, beloved children of yours, and that by your grace we can have the healing and the wholeness that we long for. And when we remember this, we can walk faithfully with you. And as we walk faithfully with you, you can work through us to make this place your holy realm in our lifetime. We give you thanks for this amazing gift and promise, and we pray this in the precious name of Jesus and the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.